Beloved congregation, when we gather together for baptism service, it is indeed a blessed moment, and it is an encouraging moment, but it is also a very solemn moment and a serious moment. Tyler and Jess and James and Tammy, before this service is over, you will answer sincerely to 3 questions. And in doing so, you'll be making vows before the Lord and His church. And we know what those questions are. We'll read them later on again too. But there are vows there that we make, and every parent here with baptized children has made these vows. And we realize that it is a very serious matter to be a parent of a baptized child. Because you parents are responsible for the upbringing, the biblical upbringing of your children. And yes, it's true. And because of us parents, our children are conceived and born in sin. It's also true that as covenant children, they are set apart in Christ. And baptism is a sign and seal of that. Our covenant children are members of Christ's church. They don't become members when they're baptized, but they are baptized because they are members of the church. And now it is the duty of Christian parents to teach our children the ways of the Lord from the Bible. And we dare not give in to the world's way of education. Just send them off to school. Let the schools and the teachers take care of it. Not even Christian schools replace parenting. They can be a help to parenting, but they never replace parents. Parents, you remain responsible. And there are certain things that every covenant child must learn and must know. And it is your duty, parents, to impart that knowledge. Always dependent on the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who gives experiential knowledge. But He uses parents' teachings. You bring it to your children's ears. You bring it to your children's eyes. But the Holy Spirit applies it to their hearts. You're going to vow in a few moments, you parents up front here, and all the others who have done this, to instruct your covenant children in the aforesaid doctrine. Which doctrine? The doctrine contained in the Old Testament and the New Testament and in our confessions, and that is taught here in this Christian church. Specifically then, what will you be teaching your children? What are you going to vow to teach your covenant children is the truth of the Word of God, also as that truth is summarized in the confessions. This morning we heard from Lord's Day 1, question 1, all about the comfort in life and death for a believer. Now, it's one thing to talk about that. It's one thing to memorize it. It's one thing to say, I like that. But it needs to be active in our lives, as a humbling comfort, something that God's children enjoy in this life, even when death comes. So we come to question 2, that speaks on enjoying this comfort, truly enjoying it, so that we may live and die happily. We all want a happy life. But we're not promised a happy life, at least not according to our definition of happy. But happy, being blessed in the Lord, is promised to God's people. And that is a truly happy life, and it ends in death. That can be happy. We and our children can know and enjoy that comfort. This afternoon we're going to look at that through Psalm 50, verse 15. And Lord's Day 1, question 2. So Psalm 50, verse 15, this is God's word. And call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. And in question 2, it's on page 27 in the back of the Psalter book. How many things are necessary for you to know that you, enjoying this comfort, may live and die happily? And the answer is 3. First, how great my sins and miseries are. The second, how I may be delivered from all my sins and miseries. And the third, how I shall express my gratitude to God for such deliverance. With the help of the Lord, then we want to consider this under the theme of what covenant children need to know. And they need to know something of misery, something of deliverance, and something of gratitude in their lives. So first then, our covenant children need to know something of misery. When we read this question, how many things are necessary for you to know? We can add in there this afternoon, how many things are necessary for you and your covenant children to know so that you and those covenant children, enjoying this comfort, may live and die happily. And there's 3 things that we need to know. And the first is how great our sins and miseries are. We and our covenant children need to know something of the greatness of sin and misery. That somebody's thinking, well, how depressing is that? Why would we begin there? Is that where we must start with instruction? Yes, indeed. Because our children are conceived and born in sin. And Psalm 50 says, call upon me in the day of trouble. Sin brings trouble. And our covenant children need to know that this life is full of trouble. That actually every day is a day of trouble. Because every day we sin against God. Every day we sin and disobey God's law. Whenever we sin, we are in trouble. Because sin brings division between God and us. Jesus said to his people, in this world, you will have trouble. It's not if we have trouble, but we will have trouble. There are many scriptural references to tears. Tears of grief and sorrow and misery. Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 42. My tears have been my food day and night, while they say continually to me, where is your God? The prophet Jeremiah, when he saw the sins of God's people all around him, he said, oh, that my head were waters and my eyes fountains of tears. There's a man in the New Testament who's struggling with unbelief. And you read about him in Mark chapter 9. He said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. The scriptures say that every one of us is included under sin. Galatians 3 verse 22. In the letter to the Romans, Paul writes, and he's quoting there from the Old Testament, there is none righteous, no, not one. Every mouth must be stopped. All the world becomes guilty before God. And parents, as much as we love our little children, and as beautiful as they are, our covenant children are included there. Not one is righteous. Our covenant children's mouths must be stopped too, along with ours, that we may all become guilty before God. Let's not neglect, parents, to teach our children that they are sinners. They are lawbreakers. They are covenant breakers. And we don't need to teach our children how to sin. But we need to show them their sin. And oh, how great the sins of little children are. Even of little infants. That's inborn, inbred selfishness and self-centeredness and self-focused. Our children are born in sin, natural sinners, and their sin is great. Think of one little child throwing a temper tantrum. What an affront to Almighty God that is. One selfish action. One stubborn, no, mommy. I don't want to. One angry look from a child. One display of obedience. One act of rebellion. You realize what that earns them. Hell. Parents, can you stand to see your children sinning, knowing what it will cost them? We acknowledged already they are subject to condemnation itself. Do we still believe that as parents? I'm including myself. I have six of them too. They're not little anymore. But parents, can we sleep at night? Knowing that outside of Christ, our children are hell-bound sinners. And if you don't show them that their actions are sinful, and if you don't expose their sinful attitudes, who will? Because of their great sin, their misery is great. It earns them eternal damnation. And if you don't tell them, parents, who will? If you don't expose their disobedience as sin against God Himself, who will? But how, you say? At the earliest possible stage in their life, you begin to show them right and wrong. And you instill in them that there are consequences. There are punishment for disobedience. As soon as they begin to grasp a little something, you tell them of the Lord God who created them in His image and who demands their obedience to His Ten Commandments. And teach them that sin and disobedience is against a holy, righteous, pure, just God who must punish sin. And punish them when they sin. Proverbs says, do not spare the rod, and you will deliver your child from hell. That's how the Bible says it. Tell them of heaven. Oh yes, for sure. But don't shy away from telling them about hell. Jesus, in His ministry, spoke more about hell than about heaven. We should too. Our covenant children, parents, need to know how great their sin and misery is. And it is our task to teach them that if they continue in sin and do not repent, they will suffer for it eternally. Let us show them that we hate sin in our own lives and in their lives. Because it is against a loving God. It is sin against the covenant love of God. And teach them that sin is a heart issue. That their heart is all wrong. That our hearts are fountains of sin. That all kinds of sin have their origin in our hearts. And parents, let's show our children that though we sin too, we are sorry for our sin. And we cry out to God in prayer for and with our children about our sins, our family sins, our individual sins. Somebody's thinking, well, shouldn't we be telling our children the gospel? Isn't there good news? Yes, there is. Of course there is. But let's remember, unless we know how bad the bad news is, What will we do with the gospel? The gospel is good news for those who know what the bad news is. In Jesus' ministry, his very first sermon is repent and believe the gospel in that order. Repent of your sins and believe the gospel. And the Holy Spirit lovingly uses the bad news, exposing sin, to make room for the good news. Parents, I know it's so tempting to tell our children how good they are. Good boy, good girl. They are lawbreakers by nature. Because they are our children, they are a lot worse than they think and a lot worse than we think. So the first thing our covenant children, along with their parents, need to know in order to enjoy God's comfort and to live and die happily is how great our sins and miseries are. Now, no one in this lifetime ever knows their sins and miseries to the great extent that God knows it. We never get there. So how much do we need to know of our misery? What is enough knowledge? When is it enough? Well, our covenant children and we know enough of the greatness of our sins and miseries when we begin to look away from ourselves for deliverance. When we come to the point where we realize, I am not good. I can't be good. I can't not sin. When they come and they cry, Mommy, I keep sinning. I am so bad. Then you teach them there is deliverance from sin in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our second thought. Our children need to know something of deliverance. So the first, how great my sins and miseries are. The second, how I may be delivered from all my sins and miseries. Or as it says in Psalm 50, verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. Deliverance is all in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. Who He is. What He did. What He does. What He will yet do. And parents, yes, we are tasked with the job of teaching our children what sin is, but we also have the beautiful job of imparting the knowledge of deliverance in Jesus Christ to our children. Yes, by all means, let's not hold back on teaching them and exposing sin, showing them their heart problem, but don't stop there. That would be so despairing. That would leave them hopeless. No, tell them God's remedy for their sin in the way of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine with me a conversation between a covenant child and his parents. And some of us have had conversations like this. Little child comes. Mommy, Daddy, I am so bad. No matter how hard I try not to sin, I keep sinning. I keep doing wrong things. I keep having bad thoughts. I secretly disobey you. I don't think I really love God. Many times I don't want to obey. What am I supposed to do, Daddy? I can't get rid of sin. I wish I was like you. You don't sin. And Daddy answers, oh, my dear child, we are sinners too. Every day we sin against God. We can't get rid of sin either. No matter how hard we try, your mom and dad, we keep sinning too. And we often have bad thoughts too. But we've learned something very special from the Bible. And you heard it recently from the Christmas story. All about the Lord Jesus. Remember what it said? He shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? Because he shall save his people from their sins. But mommy, are you sure that can be for me too? I'm very bad, you know. Inside here, it's all wrong. I think I must be the worst sinner ever. Nobody ever was bad like me. I'm not one of Jesus' people. Do you think he can save me from my sins? Well, dear, that's exactly what Jesus came to do. Listen to what the Bible says. A very bad man once said. This is a faithful saying. And we may all accept it. That the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst one. That's what it says in the Bible. See, then it can be for you too. If you are so sinful that you think you are the worst sinner, then it can be for you too. And listen to what Jesus said one time. And you can actually find it three places in the Bible. I did not come to call good people, but sinners to repentance. You see how Jesus came for bad people? Like you? And your mom and dad? Not for good people. They don't need Jesus. But mommy, how does Jesus save his people from their sins? Well, listen to what the Bible says. And notice, my dear child, I keep going back to the Bible because that's where all the answers are. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, I can't really explain to you exactly how that works. But the Bible tells us that it's true. And one day when you're a little bit older, then we'll sit down and we'll study the Bible some more. And the Holy Spirit will help us to understand how that works. Right now you still cannot really understand it, but believe it. Trust that that's it, what the Lord says, and it's true, that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. But mommy, but daddy, how can I know for sure that Jesus cleanses me from my sin? I need to know. I need to be sure that he's taken all my sins away. How did that work for you, daddy? When did you know? Are you sure yourself? Well, dear, again, we can only know for sure what the Bible teaches. So we keep turning to the Bible. The only way to be sure. And there's one verse in the Bible that I keep going to, and it never changes. 1 John 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you know what I do, dear? I put my finger on that verse. And I say to the Lord, Lord, you said it here, and you can't lie. So here I come again, Lord, confessing all my sins. And I trust and believe that you forgive each of them, because that's what you said. And that you really do cleanse me from all my badness. Oh, mommy, daddy, I want to know your Lord Jesus Christ too. You may know him from his Bible. As we teach you and as we pray for the Holy Spirit to bless this for you. This is life eternal, said Jesus, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Oh yes, our children, covenant children, need to know something of their misery, but they need to know of this deliverance. And you parents are best equipped to tell them, to show them from the Holy Word of God. But our children also need to know something of gratitude. Psalm 50 verse 15 again, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. Or the catechism, the first, how great my sins and miseries are. The second, how I may be delivered from all my sins and miseries. And the third, how I shall express my gratitude to God for such deliverance. You know what happens, children? When we are delivered from our great sins and misery by the Lord Jesus, then our heart's desire is to live to the Lord, to love Him, to obey Him. And we want to know what it is that pleases Him and how we can glorify Him. And because of that deliverance, we now want to publicly and privately express our gratitude to the Lord Jesus and to our Heavenly Father and to the Holy Spirit. But how do we do that? Well, you know, when you learn something of misery, God uses His law to show you how you have disobeyed His law. And now that very law is the guide that the Lord God gives us for a God-pleasing life. The Ten Commandments are God's rule of life for a Christian's life. That's the standard of right or wrong. Here the Lord shows us how to live a life of gratitude for this great deliverance. And the Lord Jesus summarized that law so beautifully in Mark chapter 12 and also in Matthew, where He says, the first of all the commandments is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That's the first commandment. And the second one is like it. Namely this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And our covenant children need to learn from us and to see in our lives too that in all of life, love is first. And we need to ask ourselves and we need to teach our covenant children to ask themselves questions in whatever situations they're doing and whatever attitudes is prevailing in them. Ask questions like this, and am I now loving God in what I'm doing, in what I'm thinking, in what my attitude is? Am I now loving my neighbor as myself in the way I'm treating my little brother or my big sister or the way I'm talking to my parents? And when they are unsure, teach them and teach yourself to stop now and ask, does this particular action show love to God above all? Does this action, does this attitude show how I love my neighbor? That's the touchstone, always. Love to God, love to our neighbor, because Christian gratitude is really obedience out of love, through love. And the Catechism, the section on gratitude, also contains prayer, specifically the Lord's Prayer. The chief part of gratitude, it says, is prayer. So, parents, let us teach our children to pray. Teach them the Lord's Prayer. Memorize it. Use it yourself. Base your prayers on this model. Follow its order. Follow its content. Let us teach our covenant children to pray. Let them hear us pouring out our souls to the Lord. Teach them by our example. Let them hear you pray for them, with them. Let them hear you confessing your sins, asking the Lord's forgiveness for your sinful attitudes and your sinful acts, your sinful thoughts and desires, so that they may learn to do the same. in our prayers expressing sorrow over sin and expressing our desire for a holy life and thanking the Lord God for forgiveness through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and imploring Him for more grace, for humbling grace to make us more and more Christ-like. So parents, let us teach our covenant children that cycle of knowledge, of misery, deliverance and gratitude, that deepening and expanding knowledge. And as we impart that knowledge to their ears by our words, and to their eyes by our examples, let us be on our knees imploring our gracious covenant-keeping God to apply our teaching by the Holy Spirit to their little hearts or to their bigger hearts and big, big hearts for their salvation. And remember, parents, our children, because they are our children, are conceived and born in sin. They desperately need the grace of God. That grace that is so beautifully displayed in baptism. And we, together with our covenant children, may plead on the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that is shown to us in baptism. As water washes away filth, so Christ's blood cleanses us from our sins. Remind your children often. They are baptized. God came, put His name upon them. And that baptism is a sign and the seal of God's covenant of grace. And that God really means what He says to His people in His Word about misery and deliverance and gratitude. From Psalm 50, verse 15, we'll close with that. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Amen.